Welcome to Super Talk, the podcast that scratches your superhero itch. Just two suburban dads nerding out over superhero stuff on the small screen and the big. Buckle up, people. Enjoy the ride.
Welcome to Super Talk, the weekly podcast dedicated to news and reviews of comic book media on the big and small screen. This is episode number 83. I'm your host, Brian Professor Pettis, and with me, as always, is an entirely lubed up titanium Tony Estrella.
Yeah, big day. Big day. Lubed up is an understatement. This rocket is lit. Kind of a slow news week, but we got She-Hulk, and I can't wait to get into it. I'm kind of excited about it, but yeah, how you doing? How'd you shoot today?
Okay.
Played a little golf. Weather was phenomenal.
It was a beautiful day, and you did a little river float.
River float down the Potomac, I think.
It was a cocktail river float, right?
I drank more than I probably should. There was a floating cooler that was beside me the whole time, and it was my friend.
Did you name it?
I did not. I didn't have a chance to. I emptied it, but I didn't name it.
We're calling somebody looking for all the stuff that was in it. All right, well, let's get into the show then. Before we get started, we'd like to thank our patrons. These are the listeners that bring the show. And if you'd like to become a patron, go to patreon.com/supertalk. It's a way you can help out the show directly. Donate a dollar every time we come out with an episode, and you become a patron of the show. So patreon.com/supertalk.
Thank you. Thank you for everybody that supports the show. Appreciate it.
Yeah, really helps us out. So let's get into our review section. We've got a couple things we want to talk about. I want to save our She-Hulk discussion because it'll probably be a little longer, but I did want to get your impressions of the Sandman show on Netflix. I did finish it yesterday.
You did?
Yeah, I was able to watch the whole thing. I watched several episodes this week, 10 episodes, and then there was like a bonus 11th episode that really wasn't part of the serial nature of the
series. I'm only through episode 4.
Yeah, well, there you go.
How'd you like it?
I liked it. You know, the concept, it is a based on a DC comic. The Sandman is a DC comic book. This is a DC character. It is Morpheus, the god of dreams, or we'll say he's not a god. They call him the eternal, or they're like the
something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they're like they're
somewhat of gods.
Yeah, they're
desire.
It's him and his sisters who are, there's dream, desire, destiny, despair, delirium, I think are all the children that are, right. And they basically are in servitude of man, and they each have their own realms that they're in charge of. And the concept of the show is, the main character is Dream, who's in charge of the dream world. This is where man spends a third of their life when they dream. You know, this is where they go is the world that he's in charge of. And he has dominion over all of the dreams and nightmares. The nightmares are actual characters, which is kind of interesting. I thought, the guy who plays him is kind of an interesting character. Plays him very well, though, I think. You don't get a lot of dialogue out of him in the first couple of episodes because he gets imprisoned, which is kind of part of the plot by man. There's a guy who tries to imprison Death because he wants his son brought back to life. And instead of getting Death, he gets Dream.
Right.
And he gets imprisoned. But I thought it was good. It was slow at times. There were some parts that were slow. Yeah. Did you recognize the guy who plays the escaped nightmare? So one of the part of the plot is
he's from Logan.
Yeah, he's from the movie Logan. Yeah, he was the main Reaver from the movie.
He's great.
Logan. Yeah,
he's kind of scary dude.
Yeah. What was
his
name?
His eyes or mouths?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's weird.
The Corinthian. Yeah, because that's what his name is in the show. Yeah. But there are some nightmares. So when he was imprisoned for a year, the dream world kind of went to ruins, and a lot of the dreams and nightmares decided to leave. And some of the nightmares kind of were, hey, I'm just going to walk the waking world and take, have fun, basically. And he's one of them, but yeah, some interesting characters. And I thought the plot was pretty good. Again, slow at some times.
I'm on episode 4, and everybody that I've talked to that have watched it said that as soon as like Desire and these other characters come in, it gets like some of the storylines are, there's so many different storylines going off in different directions. It's very confusing.
It does get a little weird at the end. Yeah, I'll say that. You know, and I think this is a something that, and I'm not sure if I like it or not, but it's something that I've noticed that Warner Brothers and DC has made a big movement to portray many of the characters in their properties as alternate lifestyle characters.
Yeah.
So there are a number of, I mean, there are lesbian relationships in this show. There are gay relationships in this show. Mm-hmm. I think most of the married couples are interracial.
Gender swapped, right?
No.
It used to be a guy in the comics, and now she's a girl in this show.
Well, I think it's supposed to be a relative of his.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's the Constantine is a line of individuals that he's been dealing with, but it is kind of a pseudo Constantine character who's, you know, kind of a wizard or a witch, you know, that kind of deals with the supernatural. I thought she was actually really good.
Yeah.
But there's so many, you know, alternate lifestyle characters. And again, every you know, relationship is interracial. And I think it's something that Warner Brothers has made a big movement to do. I just think they're overdoing it a little bit. Right. It seems a little bit too forward in some areas. Huh. And you'll see it as the show goes on. It's like every single, you know, episode, there's something, some gay, lesbian, interracial, you know, thing going on. And it's like, you know, they're just, I think they're making it, instead of just sprinkling it in here and there because it's reality.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
they, maybe they feel like they need to overdo it because it's been so neglected in the past.
That's possible.
And never been, you know, kind of.
And I don't think it detracted from the show that much. It just seemed, really forward. And again, I don't know if this is something they're doing on
purpose.
Shows
don't do well when they do that. Like, for instance, Ms. Marvel, they pushed culture so much. And I definitely wanted to see it in the show, but it was overbearing. It overwhelmed the story itself, and it washed the story completely out. The culture was pushed in trying to shove down your throat so much. And I see what you're saying about the Sandman.
For me to notice it, it was
right.
You know, then it's too much in your
face. It's too much.
It's like, you know, we're all aware that there are interracial and gay and lesbian relationships out there all over the world. But if you look at the percentage of them, it's kind of a lower, and to have like almost every interaction in the show be that, it's like this, it just seems a little strange to like they were doing it on purpose. And again, they might be, so I don't know. That be interesting to see, but I've seen it in a lot of other shows that Warner Brothers has put together. I noticed a lot of it in Young Justice, when the cartoon series, the animated series they had on HBO Max, there was a lot of that in there too. And I'm like, it seems like they're really throwing it down, shoving it down our throats. And maybe they're doing it on purpose. I don't know. But again, it didn't detract too much from the show, but
I talked to said that it's very confusing. Didn't mention any of that, but they said it was very confusing. And that could be a symptom of the story just being very choppy. But I'm on episode 4. I'm definitely going to finish it. A rating, you know,
I'd give it a 6.5
out of 10.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was pretty good. It was entertaining. I watched the whole thing. It was entertaining. And there were parts that were slow, and they did some things, and there was just like, look, I don't need to watch this. Let's just move on. Get to the plot. You know, it's like, and you'll see that as you go through. But yeah, it's worth a watch. I mean, there's nothing really else out, you know, so check it out, right?
Cool.
Well, let's get into our premiere episode of She-Hulk this week. We got that on Thursday. You mentioned me earlier this week. You really liked it. I really liked the first episode as well.
Yeah, I really liked the first episode. I know I always say that, and a lot of our listeners probably think that we're fanboys and we're being paid by Disney to love everything, but that's just not the case. Because we didn't love everything, we didn't really like. Well, I didn't really like I Am Groot. It was okay, and Ms. Marvel was dreadful. So, and to be honest with you, Thor: Love and Thunder. I mean, It was good. I liked Ragnarok way better. It wasn't great. I mean, the story was... They made Thor so silly. I mean, I get it. In Thor Ragnarok, he wasn't as silly as he was here, but he's kind of a joke now, and I don't like that to be Thor, you know? So, we'll see. But yeah, She-Hulk, I watched it actually with my wife, a non... she's up showering now because we spent all day in the creek, so she's, you know, getting the creek out of her cooch. Which is what you need to do once you float in the creek. You need to get it out of your cooch. So that's what she's doing now. Anyway, She-Hulk, we watched with her, and she actually liked it. She's a big Ally McBeal fan. She likes, you know, Special Unit SUV, those shows, those lawyer shows. She likes all those lawyer shows. So she was like, oh, is this a lawyer show? Even though the first episode wasn't really a lawyer show. I liked it a lot.
I think this episode was very much... in line with what we want to see and what we were expecting, you know, kind of the origin story of how Jennifer Walters got her powers.
Did you like how she did the transfusion, how she became the Hulk? Did that bother you at all? Or?
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I think to 100% adopt the comic book storyline would have been hard and also strange, and you would have had to set up a lot of the backstory of her being a lawyer,
right,
and her being threatened by the mob, and then right, her being, you know, attacked by the mob and getting shot. So it would have taken
too long.
For it
to make sense, they needed way more time.
And it seems like, to me, they're going to be introducing some Sakaar aspect into this, because the reason why the car wrecks is because a spaceship flies down in front of them, and the Sakaarian spaceship flies down in front of them. We don't know who was in that ship or why it was there.
He knew exactly what type of ship it was. He identified the ship and said, I'm going to have to deal with that when I get a chance.
Right.
He's like, I need to look into that. They're obviously looking for somebody.
Well, they're looking for him.
Of course
they
are.
But who's looking for him, right? Yeah, so hopefully we'll find that out. But, yeah, I mean, I thought it was really interesting. And again, I think one of the best parts of this is not only the way that they explained how and why she became a She-Hulk, but also... like the differences between her and Bruce, right? So, you know, two things. He explained that you know, he was bleeding when, so we see, and I want to talk through this a little bit because...
Spoilers, by the way, if you haven't seen it, total spoilers in this show. So just FYI, you've been warned. 3, 2, 1, spoilers.
So in the car, he's in human form, and we saw him in human form at the end of Shang-Chi, and we were kind of wondering, how is this possible? He had been Professor Hulk for so long.
He still had his arm in the sling, right.
So we found out that he had created this device that he wore on his arm.
And even in Shang-Chi, if you look back on that, he has that device on.
Oh, well, that's good to see. I didn't even look back. But,
yeah.
But he has this device on his arm that keeps him in human form. It's something that's kind of keeping him human.
Yeah.
And... His arm is still in a sling, and he's like, you know, it's still just not healing. But it kept him in human form. Well, he gets in the car accident, and then as the accident occurs, he does get cut. Because if he was still in Hulk form, he wouldn't have gotten cut, or it would have healed immediately.
Correct.
But he's bleeding, and Jennifer has to pull him out of the car. And
he's like, stay away from me. I'm bleeding.
She gets cut too, and so his blood gets into her
system.
And then you see it, and then she turns into the She-Hulk immediately. And then when he brings her back, and then he turns into the Hulk as well, because the device malfunctions, and it was the only way to kind of help him, you know, heal and all this other stuff. Well, next thing we know, they're in Mexico on this island or somewhere in Mexico. And we find out it's a place that he and Tony had built during the blip for them to kind of just be together and work on stuff and talk about things. And you know, they kind of bonded, and, you know, the scientist bonding area that they
had. Yeah, Smart Hulk even said, this is where I figured out how to combine the two, the beast and the man.
Right. That was the lab that he worked at. I mean, when he talked about it in Endgame, when he said it was, you know, years in a lab of being able to find out a way to combine both personalities. But he did explain that, you know, which I thought was just a great explanation. He said, you were poisoned, basically. You were poisoned with
a lethal amount of gamma radiation
in my blood poisoned you. But we have a unique DNA that allows our blood to synthesize gamma radiation.
Right.
And, you know, the way that it does that is by, you know, creating this Hulk person or this Hulk personality, or the Hulk body, to actually be able to handle that poison, you know, level of gamma radiation. And that was a great explanation. Hey, the reason why, if somebody else were to get my blood, right, they may die or it may make them very sick.
One in a million, I think he said.
Well, we saw the scene in the Incredible Hulk movie with Ed Norton when he was working in the bottle factory and he got cut. He bled, and then we saw Stan Lee
take a drink
and
die immediately.
He like died or passed out or whatever, right? So, you know, you have to have this unique DNA quality that allows you to synthesize that gamma radiation. And so that's the reason why she's the She-Hulk, is because they're related and it's something in their family, you know, blood that allows her to do that.
Right.
So that was a great explanation.
Yeah.
Then he also said the way that your body synthesizes the gamma is different than mine. As a matter of fact, it was so unique, I was able to use it to heal my arm.
Right.
So we found out the reason why his arm was healed when he turned back into the Hulk was because we saw that it wasn't healed after the snap that he did. And he was able to heal his arm with what he learned about how her blood interacted with the gamma radiation. Yeah. So that was awesome, too.
Yeah, I mean, they really closed a lot of loopholes in the MCU in episode one, which I thought was fantastic.
Right.
I love how he's like, you know, this is new territory for me. What do you mean? You don't feel like somebody else has got a hold of the wheel?
Oh, that was great.
That's awesome.
That was great. Like the scene from the trailer where he puts her in that little capsule and has the spinning blades, you know, closing in on her, and she ends up turning into the She-Hulk and rips the door off and starts screaming. And he goes, "That was great." He's like,
easy,
"Whoa,
girl.
Easy, girl." And she says, "Why are you talking to me like a horse?" I thought that was great.
Yeah.
And he's like, "What? You don't feel like somebody else is in control?" She's like, "No,
no, I'm conscious."
He's like, "That's new.
Yeah,
that's different, right?" So obviously the way that their body transforms and the way that they handle this radiation is different.
Yeah.
And, so a lot of the things that he felt he had to teach her of how to control her emotions and control her anger and all this other stuff, we found out that she really didn't need it.
No.
That she's able to freely transform in and out of the She-Hulk whenever she wants. It's not based on fear or anger or distress. She can kind of just do it on a whim. Now, there are things that do trigger it. We found out, you know, the air horn to the ear or whatever like that will do it. But she can kind of transform back and forth as she wishes, which is awesome. I mean, I think that makes it really, really good for the TV show. But, you know, then we saw that whole big training montage of him basically trying to teach her how to be a Hulk.
And then fighting. It was awesome.
That was great.
That was great.
I mean, that again, that's what we watch the show for,
sure,
right? You know, testing their strength, seeing all the things that they can do, you know, showing them all the stuff.
And the special effects were decent.
They were pretty good.
That was great. The CGI didn't bother me at all.
No.
I wasn't, like, nitpicking.
It's a little sloppy in areas, but you know what?
I thought
it
was
CGI.
Great. It worked. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it was believable that these two beings were fighting. I thought it was great. Very cool.
But she eventually decides, hey, look, I'm good.
Yeah.
I mean, I can handle this. I don't need to.
She wants to get back to being a lawyer.
Right. And he's trying to teach her that, look, you're now a superhero. We have a responsibility. We're in charge of protecting the earth and protecting people that can't protect themselves. And she's like, you know, I'm going to do that by being a lawyer.
Right.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
He says, she's like, I'm not worried about all that other stuff. And he's like, well, you will. And I think we'll see a lot of that happen throughout the series.
Oh, he makes reference to, you know, now that you're a superhero, you basically put a target on your back and everybody that you love's back. So I think you're absolutely correct. We're going to see that. And some of the Easter eggs in there was cool. Like, you see, like, the Ultron bot mask in his tiki hut, and then the gladiator helmet in the background.
From Sakaar.
Yeah, I thought that was cool as shit. I love the Mexico vibe and the tiki hut vibe that he has going. Even the details down to the bar that him and Tony built, they put their initials in the bar. I thought that was cool.
So one of the things that was discussed in the car ride as well as in Mexico, and then we kind of got it at the end credit scene, was...
That's how you fucking do an end credit scene, by the way.
Yeah.
That's how you do an end fucking credit scene.
Right.
That was brilliant.
Well,
that was so fucking awesome.
She was continually asking him about...
She's,
you know,
curious.
She was like, you know, basically saying that Steve Rogers was a virgin, right? And,
yeah,
and
that's what
Captain
America's
a virgin. But Captain, he's...
He died a virgin.
Right. And... Bruce is like, look, no, it's not true. Come on. No, it's not true, not true. And he's trying to beat around the bush. And then finally we get to the end credit scene where they're basically talking about it. And he's like, there was a USO tour in 1942.
Steve Rogers lost
virginity. And she's like, yes, Steve Rogers F's, you know. And
Captain America, fuck. Yeah. And it cuts out. That's awesome.
It was a great end credit
scene. That's the way you do an end credit scene.
We did get, like, at the end of the first episode, she goes back to being a lawyer. She's in court. She's in a trial. And that's the scene where Titania busts through the wall. Yeah. She's forced to turn into She-Hulk. They have a little bit of a fight. And we'll kind of see the after effects of that, I'm sure, next episode. But we see that was the first time that she showed everybody that she was the She-Hulk.
Her family and her best friend that's the paralegal knows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's great. I mean, I don't think we're going to get another episode like this one. But I do hope we get enough She-Hulk in each episode that makes me want to continue to watch it, right? I think that was one of the big criticisms we had of Ms. Marvel. And at times, that was a criticism of Moon Knight, was there wasn't enough Moon Knight. There wasn't enough Ms. Marvel. Like, if Ms. Marvel spent most of that series being Ms. Marvel, we would have liked it more.
As a superhero, right?
Where I hope we get enough She-Hulk. I do believe this is going to be kind of a courtroom comedy. And we're dealing with, you know, interactions with her and other people and her clients and things like that. But I hope we get enough of the She-Hulk personality, and I do think we will, that it'll make it fun and watchable and you know, entertaining.
Yeah, I think we will.
Yeah.
But still, remember that this is a comedy, a courtroom comedy.
It's an Ally McBeal show, right.
Very lighthearted, very silly. I think it's going to get even sillier, but... Yeah, I liked it so far. I think the fourth wall break was brilliant and perfect. I'd like to see a little bit more of it, but it was awesome.
Yeah. And again, from what I understand, they actually moved this episode to the first episode when I think that they had always planned for the origin story to be somewhere in the middle of the series.
Really?
Where she would have been a lawyer. We would have seen She-Hulk and interacting with clients and everything else, and then they would have gone back to show us how it happened. And from what I understand, they reordered that and made it the first episode so that it would set the bar for everybody who didn't know who She-Hulk was or why she was She-Hulk.
Yeah.
And I think that was brilliant.
It helped my wife, that's for sure.
It draws the audience in of people. Yeah. You and I would have understood it, but it draws the people who don't know into the story.
Why is she a Hulk? Why is she a lawyer?
Right.
How did she become a Hulk?
Right.
I think that helped my wife a lot. I think she's in. That's going to be our next
show. Well, and again, it's only 30, 35-minute episodes. They're not long.
Yeah, half-hour episodes.
Yeah, they're really easy to watch.
9 episodes total.
Yeah, so it'll be great. I'm looking forward to the next one. So
me too.
Glad we got that one. All right, a couple of news items this week. As Titania mentioned, there wasn't much news this week, but a couple of things I wanted to discuss. So we got a big announcement and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Top Gun Maverick, a couple of weeks ago, surpassed the domestic box office total for the Avengers movie. Well, now they just passed Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah.
$679 million, passing the $678 million that Infinity War had amassed. So now they're in the top three territory now of domestic box office totals. That is amazing.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good movie. I mean, it's
great.
It's entertaining.
Still playing in theaters. You go to any theater right now, you can still go watch it.
Awesome. Yeah.
I mean, that just shows you a movie that has that long of a run. I think the last time we saw that was with Spider-Man No Way Home. That movie was in the theaters for a long, long time. And so long, as a matter of fact, was one of the reasons why we felt that they delayed the Morbius release as long as they did, was because Spider-Man was still raking in dollars in the theaters, and they didn't want to pull away from the box office totals. But hey, yeah, great movie. Congratulations to Top Gun.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. This is a bit of a piece of a news story that I want to talk about a little bit, because we got some, we talked about this a couple of episodes ago. Henry Cavill had been rumored to be in talks with Marvel for an undisclosed role in the MCU. And we were kind of surmising what role it could be, who he might be playing, maybe Captain Britain, or some people were saying, oh, it's going to be Mr. Fantastic, which we were like, nah, we don't think it's going to be that. We were like, what kind of character could he be playing? Now there are rumors out there now, and again, this is just making me so excited for D23, because I think there's going to be casting announcements across the board.
I agree with you. I think there's going to be some huge ones.
Yeah. But this one,
which, by the way, where will we be when we do that show about D23?
Oh, right. Well, we'll be after D23 down.
Yeah. Saturday, D23. Yep.
Well, D23 is on
September 10th.
On the 11th, we're going to be
September 11th
at Bear Chase Brewing out in Bluemont, Virginia, doing a live show.
Ah, so excellent. 11:45, Bear Chase Brewery. Come out and see Titanium Professor Pettis. We're going to knock out our D23 episode, which will be fucking epic.
Yeah.
It will be amazing. Come have a beer on us. Shit.
Yeah. Come out and join us. And,
yeah,
and
it'll be fun.
I've already heard from a bunch of people that said they are coming.
Same.
So
yeah.
I'm really excited for that.
I think my oldest daughter from JMU is going to drive. A bunch of her sorority sisters and people are going to drive out and come see the show.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, anyway, get back to Henry Cavill. The rumor now is that there's a potential he may be playing Hyperion, and we may be seeing
him. Who the fuck is Hyperion?
Long story. So Hyperion is basically the analog of Superman in the MCU.
Okay.
In the Marvel comics, right? So Hyperion's as close to Superman as Marvel has. He's not from our Earth, right? So the main kind of Earth 616 universe. He's from like Earth 712 or something. He's from an alternate kind of an alternate Earth similar to ours,
okay,
but different. He was a member of a superhero team called the Squadron Supreme, and they had a bunch of different characters in there. A lot of them were analogs of the DC Justice League characters.
Got it.
So, like, there was a character called Nighthawk, and Nighthawk was very similar
to Batman,
got right?
it.
And so there's a bunch of those.
Got it.
But they were from a different alternate Earth, and they crossed over into our Earth several times. But Hyperion basically is as close to Superman as you have. Super strength, invulnerability, can fly, shoots, you know, hyper lasers out of his eyes, all kinds of other stuff. The rumor now is that he's been cast in the role of Hyperion, and he will be showing up in Loki Season 2.
What?
So the rumor now is that Loki Season 2 will feature the Squadron Supreme as kind of like the boys version of the Justice League, the analog of the DC Justice League. And they will not only show up in Loki Season 2, and there will be some interaction between these characters and Loki, but Kang will recruit them to be his muscle in the Kang Dynasty movie.
Wow. That'll be interesting.
And again, Henry Cavill, you know, why would he come to the MCU and basically play the exact same character that he played in DC?
I
don't know.
I can't see DC letting him go to Marvel and not locking him down as Superman for the next six or seven
movies. It would be a big FU to DC if he did go.
It would be huge. And it would be a massive loss for DC.
For sure.
Massive loss.
But, you know,
he's a fan favorite, and he is a perfect casting.
Right. If he is playing that role, and if the Squadron Supreme and Hyperion are kind of like the evil version of the Justice League or whatever, and they become Kang's muscle, that means we'd not only see them in Loki Season 2, but also in potentially the Kang Dynasty movie and in all the whole multiverse saga, and we might see them around. So, who knows? I can't wait for these announcements at D23. I think we're going to get some major, major casting announcements.
I think they're saving a lot of hype for D23.
There have been way too many actors rumored to be cast in some pretty significant roles, and we've heard nothing from Marvel.
Yeah.
And I just have a feeling it's all going to drop that weekend.
That'd be great. I can't wait. Come out to Bear Chase and experience it live.
Yeah, we'll be talking about it for sure. All right, well, let's get into the topic of the week. This is brought to us by our friends over at Studio GG Studios. Home of the Man Band, Corn on the Cob. Thanks, Studio G, and go check them out. Their link to their pages in our show notes every week, so please go check them out because they support
us. The Duke and Duchess of Fun, the latest video. The Duke and the Duchess of Fun.
I got to go check that out.
Oh, it's a show. Oh. Thanks, Goat. Hey, you know, Studio GG Studios, the lead singer there, the GOAT, his son is training to be a ranger, an army ranger, and he's in ranger school right now. And there was a tragic accident with a couple of people that was in his squadron up there in ranger school, weather-related accident. But thank God he's okay and doing well up there in ranger school.
Best of luck, man.
Yeah, Garrett, good luck to you, brother.
I had some friends been through that process. It's not easy. So
no,
sir. You make it through ranger school, you're a badass.
Oh, no
sure.
question.
That's for sure. Well, this week, our topic of the week, we're going to talk about some potential news that we've been privy to, is that now the theory, and there's been a lot of insiders that are now speculating about this, that we got information from Marvel at Comic-Con about Phase 6.
Yep.
And Phase 5. So we got
Phase 5 and Phase 6, and they'll probably...
We only got a little bit of Phase 6. We got Phase 5 pretty much all mapped out for the most part. And then we had Phase 6. We got some Fantastic Four, Avengers, Kang Dynasty, and Avengers Secret Wars. We kind of know. And there's a bunch of other things that need to be filled in there.
Empty holes.
We feel that those are going to be filled in at D23, so hopefully we'll get that information. Now, what the rumor is, and again, industry insiders are citing this, again, we know that Kevin Feige went on this mountain retreat with all of his executives, and they mapped out the next 10 years of Marvel and all this other stuff.
Yep, decade of Marvel.
So the thought process now is that Phase 7 will be the mutant saga.
Ooh.
So we're now in the middle. We had the Infinity Saga.
Uh-huh.
We're now in the middle of the Multiverse Saga, and now they're going to say Phase 7 is going to be the mutant saga. And this is where all of the mutants and all the mutant teams will be introduced into the MCU in Phase 7. There's a lot of reasons that this makes sense, and the reasons why the industry insiders are probably leaning in the right direction, and highly likely why we haven't heard about this yet and might hear about it next month. So we talked about this a couple weeks ago. There are contractual obligations that that Disney and Marvel have to the actors that had been part of the Fox universe. So those actors that had portrayed the roles of the X-Men and other characters that Fox owned and had at the time were still under contract. And so Marvel now inherited that contractual obligation to those actors. So if they wanted to reuse those characters, they had to use those actors.
Correct.
So, for example, we saw Patrick Stewart come back as Professor X in the Multiverse of Madness.
Right.
Which was in line with the contractual obligation because he was the same person that was cast. And they could have done the same thing with James McAvoy. They chose Patrick Stewart.
Correct.
We do believe we will see Deadpool in Phase 5 or 6 simply because Ryan Reynolds is the same actor.
Correct.
And they're under...
They're not under contractual obligation to wait till 2025, right?
Yeah, I believe that contractual obligation expires in 2025, which is why we probably won't hear any major casting announcements or any major announcements about who's going to be playing specific roles in the MCU until... You know, that time frame when those movies would be coming out. And Phase 7
That's probably why they're pushing back Fantastic Four. Right?
I don't know if that still... Yeah, because that comes out in 2025.
Yeah.
Right. And that would be in line with that as well.
Yeah.
Now, we may get some of this earlier. We may get some of it in Phase 6. But we're now thinking, and the thought process is, that Marvel's really going to double down on the mutants in Phase 7. And what this means is not only are we going to get movies, major movies of superhero teams like the X-Men and all the different X-Men teams, but we'll get Disney Plus series of individual characters as well as individual teams, kind of like some maybe some offshoot teams as well. You know how much of a big X-Men fan I am.
Huge.
I can't be more excited about this.
Yeah.
If this is the case, and I think it can be done so well that all of the characters that we have today in the MCU and that will be introduced in the MCU in Phase 5 and 6 can still be part of this mutant saga. They'll just be a supporting part of it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, okay. So we may have some Avengers characters or Thunderbolts characters or Fantastic Four characters or whatever.
Midnight Suns.
In some
Young Avengers.
Right. We might have them sprinkle into some of these projects and maybe interacting with these mutant characters.
Yeah.
But it sounds like Marvel's really going to be focusing their attention on the mutants. And so we're talking about not only having an X-Men team that will be featured either in a major motion picture, probably, or multiples, but we might have some of the other teams of X-Men that we've had in the past, like X-Force, X-Factor, Factor X, Excalibur, the Exiles. There's a lot of X-Men teams that have been throughout the years, and we can now have, and some of them may be better suited for Disney Plus series. Some of them may be better suited for major movies.
Right.
But we also have all of the X-Men characters that may get their own. Some of them might get their own Disney Plus series. some of them might get a major motion picture about them. Like Wolverine, for example, may have his own motion picture. They may have characters that say, hey, like Gambit, he might have his own motion picture. Might get that because we have the ability to do that now. So yeah,
more of a Disney Plus character, to be honest with you, as far as I'm concerned. But you're right. You don't sit on the library of X-Men characters for too long. You just can't.
There's too many,
and it's too marketable. I mean, these are characters that are well-known, loved, and will cha-ching pay when you put them on screen.
Now, there's nothing preventing them from casting actors in roles that have never been used. So, and again, there are so many X-Men characters out there. There are characters that weren't used, not the main ones that we all know about, but there are ones they can bring in earlier if they want to and say, hey, these characters, you know, were never
sideways. You mean through shows and stuff, right? Bringing them sideways.
Like, so a good example would be Siren. You know, she's Banshee's daughter, but she has basically the same powers, sonic screams and everything else. But she could be brought in. Like, there's characters that were never featured in the movies or in the properties that Fox owned that they would have to be concerned with. So they could bring other ones in if they wanted to. But, you know, the main ones, and I'm looking forward to them really bringing back some of these characters that were, I'll say, you know, side characters and really never had a big focus, like Bishop and Cyclops and Colossus. We saw Colossus in
Deadpool,
but we never really saw him that much in the X-Men. Just a little bit, but, you know, just not much at all.
Iceman.
Gambit. I mean, you know, Taylor Kitsch played Gambit in the Wolverine Origins movie, but that was, you know, just a really kind of a half role, really, wasn't it? But I'm looking forward to them really focusing on these characters and bringing them to life and making these
developing their character arc through a whole saga.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, think about Iron Man and how long Iron Man has been through several phases. That is something that Wolverine definitely should be. He should go through several phases, not just phase 7, but 8, 9. I mean, that's a character that can go through several phases in and out as soon as you cast him. And I'm looking forward to it too, Professor. I absolutely agree with you, and it's exciting. I kind of feel like, no, now that, you know, phase 4 is more like a filler phase, you know? Like, they're just getting us through.
It seems like that right now. We're in right now seems like
because
a filler
of the
phase.
Pandemic. I mean, definitely because they couldn't film things the way they did, but just the quality of shows. I mean, the Multiverse of Madness, Doctor Strange 2 was good. It wasn't amazing. Thor: Love and Thunder was good. It wasn't great. But I feel like that's the type of shows we're getting. And I hope it.
I think Phase 6 and Phase 7 will be better because we'll...
Oh, Black Panther is going to light the candle to that rocket, for sure.
If it does, I don't think it's very... I think that's still in Phase 4 or Phase 5 or whatever it is. But I think we're not really going to get into the Phase 5, Phase 6 side until... I think Ant-Man and the Wasp...
Yeah, that is the first one for Phase 5.
I think that is the launch point for Phase 5 because... I think Black Panther, Wakanda Forever is really going to focus on Wakanda and what's happening there and obviously everything that's going on with Atlantis.
I don't think it's going to focus on the multiverse.
Not big world building, multiverse, you know, Kang saga.
Like Quantum.
Right.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Quantumania is going to do that. So we're probably going to start getting excited. And I think that was one of the things that as we got into Phase 2 and Phase 3 of Marvel was they were always marching towards this Thanos thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, all the movies were kind of leading up to that and we finally got it, you know, and it was like amazing. So yeah, it'll be interesting, but I think it'll be interesting to see what Marvel does with the X-Men. You know, we had the original X-Men were Professor X, Iceman, Cyclops, the Beast, and Angel and, Marvel Girl or Phoenix, but she wasn't Phoenix until later. But that was the original team. Are they going to go with that original team? Because that's the original team. Even when Fox did it, they didn't do that.
No, Jean Grey.
Yeah, that's what I mean, Marvel Girl.
Nightcrawler.
No, they had Wolverine on the team. You know, Rogue was there. I mean, they brought all these other characters. That second team of X-Men wasn't brought in until much later in the comic book. So are they going to do the original team? Are they going to do the later team that had Storm and Nightcrawler and Wolverine and others in it? I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do with this. And I hope that at least we get a vision of what they're going to be doing. If they go through D23 and don't announce anything, I do believe we're going to get a Deadpool announcement, which if we don't, I'd be hugely surprised. But I do believe we're going to get something about that. But
anything as far as mutants concerned.
I think if they don't at least tell us
early.
What their plans
Phase 7
are,
is way too early.
But they at least tell us, here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We haven't forgotten about these characters. We've not purposely ignored them. We have plans, and here are some thoughts about what we're doing. And then just put
It'd
some
be nice,
logos
but
up there.
I don't think we're going to get in.
But splash some logos up there. Can't give you any dates, can't give you any casting announcement, but at least this is what we're doing, right?
I think we're going to hear about Phase 5 and finish up Phase 5, put the finishing touches, you know, the icing on the cake for Phase 5, and then we're going to get a lot of information about Phase 6. But to mention mutants, I think it would be great.
But he mentioned mutants at Comic-Con in 2019.
He mentioned mutants years ago.
2019.
And hasn't fucking brought it back up.
Right.
Yeah, I get it.
You got it. You got to give us something. I think that they can't continue to just say nothing about it. I mean, you know.
I love it. Yeah. Say something. Yeah. Give us something from it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
All right. Well, that's it for us.
Oh, is the bell ringing?
Bell's ringing.
I fucking love it.
Yeah. Well, that's it for
us
this week.
I'm about to pass out.
Yeah. We'll be back next week for more Super Talk. To get in touch with us on social media, hit us up via email, supertalkpodcast@outlook.com or @supertalkpod on Twitter. Until then, stay super, everyone.